The presence of God is so tangible in this place. God is more real to me than anything else. And you will experience Him today as well. You will encounter Him today as well. God has been the one who's been there for me through everything. I've had a very lonely road in life. And the only one who was there for me was God. And you know what I mean when I say the only one. Of course, my husband was there. But we've been running full-time ministry our whole life. We've never stopped. We've never had a time where we can say, okay, for this month we're going to sit back, or, you know, we're not going to do anything. But God is more real to me than you sitting here. And He will be more real to you. I don't want to stop. I can worship God for hours and hours and hours. But the presence of God will stay here. It'll stay in your house. If you are under the glory right now and you cannot stand up, if the presence and the love of God is so strong on you in your room, don't force yourself to get up. Don't force it. Lie there for as long as what you need to. Soak in the presence of God. Soak in the encounter. If you're in the building, sit down, listen to what I'm saying, but embrace the presence of God. Embrace the touch that He is busy. Embrace the transformation that is busy happening. Embrace it. Like I said, listen to what I'm saying. Online viewers, listen, but stay in this atmosphere. Stay in this moment. Don't force yourself to get out of it. A lot of people are impatient and they want to rush things and they want to just get over it, or they get tired of, you know, doing the worship or participating in the worship, so they switch off and they think, okay, I'm going to come back on when the word is on. But in these moments, when we surrender ourselves, when we surrender our hearts, when we, you know, in the word we get distracted. In the word it's easy for us to get distracted by our phones, by our stomachs, by our children, by our husbands, whatever we might be. But in the time of worship is when we can actually stay surrendered. Then don't force. So God is so wonderful. He's been so wonderful to me, and I know to you as well. If you're in the building, you can sit down. Like I said, we don't have to leave the moment. I'm going to quickly share with you the message that I have, because I feel like it's very important for a lot of us. For those of you, I can't see anything in the building. It's just dark. I see the front row of 5 people. But for those of you who are in the building, and if you are online, I want you to let me know if you've listened to Faith That Stands Still, Part 1 and 2. Part 1 I did in Centurion Branch, and I did it on Real Talk. And then Part 2 I did here in Krugersdorp about 4 weeks ago, three, four weeks ago. If you haven't watched it, I want you to encourage you to go and catch up. Go and listen to Part 1 and 2, because it's a whole series. It's not just a one message. It's a whole series that I did teaching you on faith and faith that stands still, for me to be able to do a proper recap of each session is going to be very difficult. I can't do it justice. But before I get into that, I want to remind you of the power of the Holy Spirit, and not to underestimate the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people think that the Holy Spirit, they think it's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and they underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, He has the ability, or He is obviously the one that touches you, and God is the one that touches you. I'm just the vessel that He uses. You know, God and the Holy Spirit, they understand you, and they're closer to you far more than what I could ever be. You know, the Bible says, only believe. If you guys, and even on our online viewers, if you would only believe anything is possible. You know, regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what you're going through, everything that seems impossible to you, the Bible says only believe. If you only believe. Now, the difficult thing is for us is that, you know, it's difficult for us to believe because we have doubt. You know, we have, you know, insecurities, but that's all from a lack of the word. It's the lack of revelation of the word. Some people might read the word over and over and over, but they have no revelation of the word. They don't have any understanding of the word, you know, because they, you know, they might, like I said, they might read the word, but reading the word is not just reading the word.
Yes, yes.
You need to study the word. You need to dissect the word. You need to listen to sermons on the word.
That's
if
right.
you're someone who's, you know, who reads the word and it's not interesting, start listening to sermons. And when you listen to sermons, when you listen to the teachings and the preachings that we do here, take your Bible. That's why I make notes all the time. I take my Bible. If I don't do it in church because sometimes it gets too much, I go home and I highlight the scriptures in my Bible. And the revelation that is from that scripture, I will make short notes of it in my Bible. So next time when I read the Bible and I get on that scripture, I'm reminded of the sermon that I was taught about there, and I have a revelation of that scripture. So it's no longer boring. It's no longer you know, something that I just read. But to try and to see if I can, because I have half an hour with you, if I can do a quick recap of part one for those of you, our online viewers who are newly with us, for me to do a quick recap is going to be difficult, but I'm going to try just give you the crux of the message of both one and two. But in part number one, I explained to you, you know, to not have a wavering faith, not have a doubting faith. You can put it up, James 1 verse 6. James 1 verse 6, just quickly put it up for the guys, even online so that they can see. James 1 verse 6.
And prophetess online, the people are saying that they have listened. Zelda is saying, I have listened to all of it. Siri is saying, I have listened to all of it. Ilza Marie is saying, I have listened to all of them, as
awesome.
Well as Navani.
Awesome. But I know there is some people who hasn't listened to it, and some people might catch the broadcast later, and they, for the first time, they might not have heard it. But, you know, James 1 verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For those of you who don't know, I explained to you how, you know, a lot of people, they you know, they'll have faith one moment and they'll confess things in church and they'll speak things in church and they all power up. But as soon as something happens at home, they fall apart. As soon as something happens on Tuesday, the boss says this. Oh no, God is not this and God is not that. They continually, you know, what their mouths say is not the same as what's in their heart. You know, what you speak is not the same as what's in your heart or what's in your mind. Your mind and your mouth are different. Your mind and your heart are different. You know, I said that in verse number one. I said not to be tossed by the wind, because when you are not standing firm in your faith, the whole point of part one was to stand firm in your faith. And I went into this scripture, verse number six. I went into a scripture and I explained to you, that I explained the Greek words of these messages. I went into ask, I went into in, I went into doubt, and I went into waves. And I explained how, you know, when you tossed by a wave, when if you think about a wave, you know, it's never lasting. It's never something that is, it's always rolling around. And I explained that, you know, why people don't get breakthrough. They don't get breakthrough because they don't stand firm. God will answer you in the place that you request. So if you, let's say, for example, you are in this church and I'm just fixing my hair. It's tickling me too much. If you are being tossed, you'll ask for God something in one place and then you move and you take offense and you move to another church, God's going to answer you in this place. He's not going to answer you in another place because that's where you asked. I explained how, you know, if you ask for something once, it's faith. If you ask for something twice, it's doubting.
That's right.
And I explained to you that when you ask a second time for something, you short circuit your miracle, because God dispatches it and he sends it out. Yet when you ask for something again, he has to redispatch it. So it takes longer for it to come. So I explained to you that when you ask for something, you need to stand firm. I explained that faith is the intelligence of the word. So if you know the word, if you study the word, if you dissect the word, you have something to stand on. You are able to stand firm in the word. You are able to stand firm on what the Bible says.
That's
you have
right.
principles to stand upon. You have promises to stand upon. And that's how, you know what to pray for. And when you pray for something, you are sure of what you're praying for. Because you have intelligence of the word, you remain sure and you stand firm because you are sure of what the word says. You know, I said faith is an action. You need to be so deeply rooted in Christ. You need to get to a place of where you stand firm and you don't move.
Yes,
regardless
yes.
of what comes your way, regardless of the attacks that come, regardless of you know, of what challenges come your way. I explained to you that you know, faith is always a challenge. It is something that is out of your comfort zone. A lot of people, you know, they want to stay in their comfort zone, so they'll you know, they don't want to move out of a place of comfortability. For example, you know, the Spirit of God is leading you to start a business, yet you're still employed. And people don't want to start a business because it's going to be a challenge, it's going to be something that's difficult, and you know, but they want to be in a comfort zone. If you're a person who likes to stay in the comfort zone, you have no faith, because faith is always a challenge. You know, I explained to you how, you know, faith is a habit that needs to be formed. In part two, I explained to you how faith is a habit that needs to be formed. It's faith needs to be exercised. Faith needs to be exercised daily.
Yes,
and you need
right.
to start small. Start with something small, then you move your way up. And I explained to you how a habit is formed, you know, how scientifically a habit is formed in your brain. It starts with a cue or a trigger, and then it goes to a routine, and then it goes to a reward. So in short version is your trigger is the problem or the situation that you're facing. Your routine is by you studying the word, you know, digging into the word, delving into
yes,
the word,
yes.
dissecting the word daily. So you do that daily. And then with that, you pray, you confess, you decree and declare these promises over your life. That's the routine that you form. And then obviously the reward is answered prayer. And so that's the short version of part one and two. There's so much that I said there. I was reading the notes again yesterday that I had done for the series, and I thought to myself, how can I get this in? So I won't do it a justice now, but I want to encourage you on our YouTube, go look for faith. Just type in faith that stands still, and part one, two, and obviously three will be up probably in the week, but one and two is already up. Go and listen to that so that you can understand, you know, the whole series, the whole, you know, what I'm doing in the whole series. Today, though, I want you to look at, I'm going to take us into the identity of Jesus. And even though we all know the story of, obviously, of Jesus and I want to go into the last, or some of the last 12 hours of his life. We know that, you know, when Jesus stood in front of Pilate, he was assaulted. He was completely assaulted. They were trying to strip him of his identity, the identity that he aligned himself with.
Yes.
But I want to go in that. And regardless of what they tried to do to Jesus, he stood firm in his faith.
That's right.
He stood firm. He stood firm in knowing the promises of God, knowing the purpose and, you know, the mission that he had to fulfill. And so before we had looked at David, we looked at how, you know, David stood firm in his faith. We looked at Moses. We looked at Noah. We looked at Abraham. We looked at a few people in the Bible when we were going through the stories of how they all stood firm in their faith. You know, they were, you know, I was saying now that, you know, they were trying to strip Jesus of the title as King of the Jews. You know, they obviously beat him and stuff. And I was saying to you how they tried to remove the identity that he had aligned himself with. There might be you guys, some of you sitting here today and our online viewers, there might be some of you that are sitting now and people are trying to remove your identity. They're trying to remove your presence out of a place. But you need to stand firm.
Yes.
Regardless of what they are doing, stand firm. Stand firm. You know, that what the devil will do is he will try and bring sickness in to remove your identity.
That's right.
He will try and, what I mean by your identity is, you know, who you are in Christ and the faith that you have in Christ and knowing that you're a Christian. So he'll try and remove your identity by giving you sickness. And then people will say to you, yeah, but I thought you're a Christian. I thought
sure.
God is supposed to heal you.
That's right.
He's trying to remove your identity. You know, when you in a workplace, you know, and you're going through stuff, you might even question yourself, am I really a child of God? Am I really, because of the challenges you struggle, am I really a Christian? Is God really real? The enemy is trying to strip you of the identity
That's
that
true.
You have as a child of God. And we need to not look at that. No matter what we are facing, I explained to in the other series, no matter what we are facing, online viewers, no matter what you are facing, you need to stand firm in your faith. I elaborated very much on that in the last few times. I explained to you as well that we need to have faith like a rhino.
Yes, yes.
You know something about a rhino, they will get ready to charge, and everything is pre-planned beforehand. They see the situation, they get ready for the situation, and they stand firm, they stand still. Once they're ready to go for their target, they close their eyes and they run blindly.
That's true.
They run blindly. They don't focus on their physical eyes, but they focus on everything that's pre-planned.
Yes.
So if we are prepared, if we are planned beforehand, we can run blindly. Not, what I mean by run blindly is we don't run with our physical eyes. We don't look and concentrate on the circumstances that are going around us. We concentrate and we focus on the promises of God, on what God has promised us and what He has given us. So we need to stand firm in that. You know, just as Jesus stood firm, we need to stand firm. You know, we should be Christ-like.
That's right.
In fact, what He can do, we should do so much more. The Bible says, Jesus said to us, greater works than thee shall ye do. So
Amen.
Greater things than I, you shall do. God said to us, we will do far greater than what He had done. You know, we will do far more than what He could have ever done. And we know Jesus did some amazing things. Apart from the greatest miracle that He ever did is dying on the cross for us. I think it is a miracle in everything, in every aspect.
Yes, yes.
Apart from that, He did so many things. And He said, greater things than I, you shall do.
Come on.
You know, we have so much power running in our veins. If you are sitting here, if you are alive today, and you are born again, you are a believer, you are saved, you have so much power locked up on the inside of you. You have so much power locked up in your veins. But we don't tap into it. We don't activate it.
That's right.
You know, there's what I want to point out to you first, before we get into anything. I want you to take these three points down and I want you to work on it. The first thing is you need to accept who you are. For you to have this power activated and actually working, you need to do three things. The first thing is you need to accept who you are.
Amen.
So the online viewers, make sure that you are taking notes. Accept who you are. Number two, believe in the person that you are. So accept who you are. There's a difference between accepting and believing.
Come on.
Accept the person who you are. Believe in the person. So accept who you are. Believe in the person that you are. And number three, believe on the one who is alive on the inside of you.
Amen.
If those are not active in your life, the power is not working in your life. You know, why am I taking us through the identity of Jesus? Why am I going through the story to take you through the identity of Jesus? I want to show you your own identity. Remember what I said. Jesus said, greater things than I, you shall do.
That's right.
So I want to show you your identity. You know, if Jesus was attacked and He never budged, He never gave up, gave in, He stood firm, how much more should we be doing it? You know, Jesus could have said, listen, this is too much pain, I'm just going to stop. This is too difficult, I'm just going to stop. This is too sacrificial, I'm just going to stop. No matter how He was challenged, no matter how He was questioned, no matter how He was beaten and bruised for us, the Bible says He was unrecognizable.
Amen.
Regardless of that, He never surrendered and gave in.
Come on.
I want us to go to Romans 8 verse 29 quickly. Romans 8 verse 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I want us to establish a few things before we go on. Do you see that scripture? It says, and we know that all things work together for our good. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, the Bible says all things work together for our good. So every situation, and I live by this daily. Like, I ask anyone that has any contact with me, that has spends any time with me, I firmly believe that everything happens for a reason.
That's true.
All things work together for my good, regardless of whether we are being attacked, regardless of whether we are being slandered, or you know, things are not going right the way that we wanted to. Regardless of that, you know, I know that God works all things together for my good. And I know it all happens for a reason. Whether I need to testify about it one day, whether I need to help somebody through this situation or something similar one day, I know all things work together for my good.
Come on, amen.
You know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. They had to say, like, it had to be written twice. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. They had to say, he had to repeat it to show you the importance of rejoicing.
Yes, yes.
So regardless of what you are facing, regardless of what you are going through, all things will work together for your good.
Amen.
And rejoice in that. It was repeated so that you can understand the importance of rejoicing. Understand the importance of celebrating, whether you are going through the hardest thing in your life. Make that a testimony. Whether you are going through whether you get an eviction notice, hold that eviction notice paper and say, okay, I have a month before I'm evicted. I know that by the end of the month, I will have something greater. God will have something greater for me.
Yes.
If you are at the doctor and the doctor says to you, you have a tumor in your leg, hold that paper and say, all right, I have a tumor. But you know what? In X amount of time, you give the time according to your faith. In X amount of time, I will testify that this tumor has been healed. Not that it was cut out, but God has healed this tumor. If you are going through a divorce, if your husband or wife says to you they want a divorce, you use that as a testimony. You fight. You say, no, I will not to them, you know, to God. And you fight with that. I said to you that faith is an argument as well. You need to argue. So if the doctor says to you, sick, you in your mind, you say, no, I'm not.
Come on.
But even in that, you use it as a testimony.
That's right.
Let all things work together for your good. We have so much power. Some of you sitting here, actually all of you, and everyone watching us online, everyone that is going to tune into this broadcast whenever they see this, and everybody that is a born-again believer, you have, like I said, have so much power running in your veins. But you don't even use 1% of it.
That's
not
right.
Not 5%, most of you, not all of you. Not even 1%. Some people don't even use 0.002%. You might be thinking, if you're sitting there and thinking, okay, but I don't have so much power inside of me. You know, I'm not a powerhouse. I'm not able to do the things that you can do or others can do. I want to say to you that you have a serious identity problem.
Yes.
A serious identity problem. And you possibly may not be born again.
Sure.
Because if you understand who you are, if you are born again, or you are just lazy and want to find excuses, I said to you in one of the parts, I said to you that what a lot of people do is, you know, they'll confess things and they'll speak something, but their actions show differently. So on Sunday, to everybody, they'll testify how good things are going and things are great and whatever. Then on Friday, mommy phones you and asks you how you are doing. So let's say you have arthritis or something. On church, you're confessing it's going great. And this, now mommy phones you because you know she's not working the weekend. Oh no, mommy, you know, I'm so much pain today. And, you know, I can't really move. And I can't even get up to cook some food. What are you doing? You are looking for sympathy. You are looking for the attention. What you don't realize is you are nurturing that demon. And that demon will come back stronger.
That's true.
And other demons will come strong.
Come on.
And more will come to you because they see you like attention. They see you like, you know, to have sympathy. Don't be that person today. You know, David ran towards his problem. He ran. We know the story of David and Goliath in part number 2. I told you about David and how he ran towards Goliath. He wasn't scared.
Yes.
And he was the smallest of them all. He was small in stature. He ran to the problem. I told you that I'm sure the ground was shaking when Goliath ran towards David. He didn't stop and think, oh my word, now Goliath is coming. Let me just slow down. No, he ran head on towards his challenge. He faced his challenge head on, and he did it with boldness. He knew who he was. He knew that he wasn't working alone and that heaven backed him. If you just understand how much heaven backs you, I guarantee you, you will not be the same. David never staggered. Abraham as well never staggered. You know, he didn't say, okay, you know, I don't want to give up my son. It's my only son. He knew that God would come through for him. Even if Isaac had to die, God would have raised him from the dead. He knew. He did not stagger in his faith. I want you to not stagger. Are you the kind of Christian today that, you know, constantly gives up and constantly moans and complains and doesn't stand firm in the word of God, doesn't stand firm in your faith? If you are, I want to challenge you today to look past that.
Come on.
I want you to start standing firm. I want you to start studying the word so that you know the promises, you know the principles, so that you can fight with it
when
you have to, and argue with it when you have to. But let's get into Jesus quickly. How much time do I have? Okay, I have 10 minutes. Oh my goodness. Okay. Matthew 26 verse 50. Let's go to Matthew 26 verse 50. Now we know while they're getting that, we know the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of the stories in Matthew are not in Luke and John, or some that are in John are not in Matthew, Luke, and John. We know that. So we're going to go between these books, and we all know the story of the God of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want to go there now. So are you there? Are we slow? Matthew 26 verse 50. Matthew 26 with 50. You know, so while they're getting there, I want to just give you a bit of the background. We know that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane here. And we know that it wasn't just a 2x2 meter garden. The Garden of Gethsemane stretched over a whole region. There was a cemetery there. It was a massive area.
Yes, yes.
And we know that Jesus was obviously there. He went there to pray, and Jesus betrayed him. I'm not going to get into the whole scripture. I want you to go and read the whole scripture in context. That's your homework. Go and read the whole scripture in context. We know that, you know, when Judas came with all the soldiers and the officers, there were 600 of them in total. So let's read together. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were there with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide for me more than 12 legions of angels?" Let's stop there. So, I told you the background. Jesus was there to pray. Judas came to betray him. Most of us know the story. For those of you who don't, there's a bit of the background. But go read the whole story in context. So, it was 600 people. So, Jesus said to them, "Do you think that I cannot pray now to my Father and he will not provide for me more than 12 legions of angels?" So I'm going to go fast over this section because this is not the point. It's just to give you some facts. For those of you who don't know, one legion is 6,000. So Jesus said, so 6,000 is one legion, and Jesus said 12,000 is 72,000 angels. So Jesus said, "Don't you think I can ask my Father of 72,000 angels to come to my aid?" But then, we don't have to go there, but take notes of the scripture. Isaiah 37 verse 6. Isaiah 37 verse 6. Don't go there. Just write it down for those of you who are writing down. Isaiah 37 verse 36. It says that, "Then an angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And then they just said how they were dead. So if one angel killed 185,000 people, imagine how many people 72,000 angels could have killed. I did the maths for you so you don't have to do it. So they would have killed, the 72,000 angels would have had the ability to kill 13 billion people, 323.
Come on.
So Jesus said to them, "Don't you think I can call on 72,000 angels who could kill 13. That's the world population two times over.
Yes, yes.
So he could have called those angels. They would have killed the whole earth once. Then God repopulated and they killed it again, and then only for a third time. That's the power that Jesus carried.
Sure, come on.
I want you to understand the level that Jesus carried, and that you as a born again believer carry. The spirit that of God that you carry, that you possess. If Jesus could call on 12 and he said, greater things than I you shall do.
Yes,
how many angels can you call to your aid?
Come on.
We don't understand this. You know, Jesus said, if I want to, if he wants to, he could have, but he didn't, because he knew that prophecy needed to be fulfilled.
Yes.
If you understand the power that you carry, no demon will be able to attack you.
Come on.
No devil will be able to attack
Amen.
You and get right. Or if they do, they know that they won't be able to get right. So they'll go for somebody who's easier. Let's go together to John 18, verse 4. John 18, verse 4. Are we there? Just put it for the online people. I'm going to read so long. Just put it there. It says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? They answered him, saying, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood there. Now, when he said to them, I am thee. I'm just going to stop there. So, I want you to see what Jesus did. It says in verse number 4, it says, Jesus, he went forward and he asked and he said to them, who are you seeking? So, verse number 4, it's saying, who are you seeking? So, you have to see that Jesus walked boldly towards 600 soldiers and officers.
Yes, yes.
He didn't stand back and say, okay, no, you know, let me try and run away. Let me try and hide. No, he boldly faced his challenge. He knew what was to come.
That's right.
He was prepared for what was to come. So, he walked to them and he boldly said to them, who are you seeking? Then we know the story goes that they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth, and Jesus said to them, I am he. And if we look at it, let's finish the story and then we see. So he said, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. And when he had said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. You see, like I said, Jesus wasn't trying to run away. He went boldly to them. And in that moment when he said, I am he, right there, he revealed his true identity.
Yes, come on.
He revealed who he was. He revealed that he is who he is.
Amen.
I am that I am. He revealed his true identity as God. And obviously we see in that moment that those soldiers fell backwards. Now, what I want you to understand, it was like an atomic bomb that went off in that place. There was so much power just from confessing who he is,
yes.
Just from understanding his
Come
identity,
on.
Just from understanding the power that he carried. And remember, Jesus didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have. He was a man. He came in the form of a man.
Yes.
He didn't come as God. He came in the form of a man. You know, he wasn't born again. He didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him yet. It was like an atomic bomb that went off, a spiritual bomb that went off
Amen.
Right there when he revealed his true identity. You know, the people that were there, the officers and the soldiers that were there, they had no power or authority to arrest him. They were so out of their league spiritually. Jesus could have just turned around and walked away. He could have said, okay, well, he just spoke, I am he, and these people fell over.
Sure.
He could have just said, okay, I'm turning around and walked away.
That's
because
right.
Nobody could seize him. Yet he chose to stand there. He chose to stand firm because he knew prophecy needed to be fulfilled.
That's right.
He knew what needed to happen. He knew his identity and who he was. You know, some of you don't understand your identity and therefore you are being attacked all the time. A lot of people expect others to make them happy. They say, you know, I'm not happy because of so-and-so.
Sure.
I'm not happy because you're not doing this. So I'm
sure,
not happy
yes.
because of this. But the Bible says, no man, nothing except for love.
Come on.
So you cannot depend for your happiness or your identity in that to be in somebody else.
Yes, yes.
You need to develop it. You need to understand it. You need to grow in your identity and have the revelation from God. Pastor Vlad said this week, you know, that we as pastors can light your fire, but you need to keep that fire going.
Yes, that's
you need
right.
to continually be putting sticks on your fire. So no man owes you anything except for love. They don't owe you happiness. When you understand your identity, you will do so much greater. Jesus said, greater things than I you shall do. If
That's
you just
right.
understand your identity, if Jesus could just say, I am he, and so many soldiers flew back, he could have turned around and walked away, but he didn't. Jesus simply surrendered. He surrendered himself to these people. What I want, and I want you to take note of this. If you haven't heard anything else this whole day, listen to what I'm about to say. Jesus surrendered to these soldiers. He chose to stand there and let them arrest him. He knew prophecy needed to be fulfilled. So the power that you carry inside of you, the identity that you carry inside of you as a child of God, the enemy has no right to take you. He has no authority. You surrender to the enemy. So if you are being attacked, if you're being or going through things, you simply surrender to the enemy. You open a door or you open a window for the enemy to come in. So if you're going through difficult things in your life, it's because you've surrendered to the enemy. Jesus had to surrender to these people, these soldiers and these officers. It was his choice. It was his choice to surrender. You need to understand the power that you carry. If you understand who you are, if you understand the power that you carry, you will no longer submit to the enemy. You will no longer surrender to the enemy and the challenges that come your way. No wonder people are constantly in a prayer line. They're constantly going for prayer. You know, everybody else has to pray for them. They're not facing their challenges head on. They're not like Goliath who faced, like David who faced Goliath head on. Whether you are dealing with sickness, whether you are dealing with difficult children, a difficult marriage, financial issues, you need to grow in your faith so that you can stand firm.
Yes, that's
right. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't ever go to a pastor. There are some things that you need your prayer partner or a pastor to pray with you. But don't every week be in a prayer line for the same thing. You need to stand firm in
Come
your
on.
Faith. Don't wait for a major sickness or a major financial crisis in your life before you start activating your faith. You need to activate it from as small as a headache. I told you this throughout the whole thing. Why run to a headache tablet if you can pray? Exercise your faith. If you're struggling with your eyes, exercise your faith. If you are going through a divorce, exercise your faith. If you have a backache, exercise your faith. Don't wait for the doctor to tell you that you have cancer. Don't wait for the bank to tell you that you need to liquidate. Start with the small things and exercise your faith. Grow your faith. Jesus surrendered to the enemy, like I said. He carried so much power and he understood it. But more importantly is you carry the same power.
Yes.
If you would just understand it, if you would understand your identity and who you are. The soldiers went flying. Imagine how, you know, how people should be, not imagine, think about this and start activating it, start exercising it. People should be falling in the shopping centers.
Yes, yes.
That you should just be walking into your boardroom with your
Come
bosses
on.
And stuff. They should fall under the presence of God because of what you carry. You should just walk into the shop and before you even get there, the tillers are on the floor.
Amen.
You know, we had a story of somebody who went to the hairdresser, I think last week, and the hairdresser couldn't stop manifesting. They were falling on the floor and he just walked in the hairdresser, and he's been doing his hair there for years and years and
Come
years
on.
Yet this is and they couldn't do anything. What took a 10 minutes haircut ended up taking like almost an hour just because she was manifesting. Now I want us to quickly go to Mark 14 verse 48. So remember what I said to you, the importance of the fact that Jesus surrendered. He didn't run away, he surrendered. They had no authority over him. So Jesus surrendered and chose for them to take him because he knew prophecy needed to be fulfilled.
Yes, that's right.
So if you understand your identity, you will not surrender to the attacks of the enemy. So Mark 14 verse 48 says, then Jesus answered and said to them, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but the scripture must be fulfilled. Now, Jesus was saying here, every day I was with you. I was in the temple, I was in the synagogue, but why didn't you come against me? Like, why didn't you seize me there? They treated him like a thief in that moment. But he knew he was fulfilling scripture. Scripture had to be fulfilled.
That's right.
Scripture had to be fulfilled. How many of you sitting here today or watching me online can say, my life is scripture being fulfilled?
Come on.
How many of you can say that? How many of you do say that? You know, when your business is going well, you say scripture is being fulfilled.
Come on.
The promises of God are being fulfilled. Or when you are successful, how many of you pray over yourself, may scripture be fulfilled? When somebody is attacking you and saying you know, you're too much at this church, you're too godly, or you think too much of yourself, your new answer to them is scripture is being fulfilled. I'm walking in the style of Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Scripture is being fulfilled over my life. Don't submit to these people who come against you. They are designed. They're there to take you out.
Amen.
But if you just understand and realize that scripture is being fulfilled over your life. Amen. Jesus knew right here. So let's go to verse number 50. It says, then they all forsook him and fled. Now I want you to focus on something else that happened here in the garden. This is, some of you know this, but a lot of you and maybe a lot of the online viewers don't know this. It says, verse 50, it says, then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him and left the linen cloth and fled naked. I bet some of you didn't know that in that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a naked boy running around. I know a lot of us do know who's been in the church for a while because prophets taught on it.
Yes, yes.
Many times. You know, but who was this little boy or this guy? Who was this, you know, what was his identity? Let's read number 51 again. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body. And the young man laid hold of him. So we see here, you know, the soldiers tried to catch this little boy. But remember in the beginning of the message, I told you that the Garden of Gethsemane wasn't just the garden. There were cemeteries close by.
Yes,
so
that's right.
A clue. That's a clue. The second clue is that in the New Testament, this linen cloth was only referred to twice. Once in this scripture, the second time it was referred to was when Jesus was buried.
Yes.
It was the same linen cloth that Jesus was wrapped in when he went into the tomb. So you see, that's the only two scriptures in the whole Bible where this linen cloth is referred to. So it's a clue. You know, some people say that theologians try and say that it was Mark and he was sleeping beforehand. But why would God put this scripture in the Bible? In this whole story, why would he add this section that there was this little boy who was wrapped in a cloth? So this little boy was raised from the dead.
Come on.
A little boy was raised from the dead.
Yes,
when
yes.
Jesus just said, I am he.
Come on.
When he proclaimed his identity, so much power came out from him. Not just because, not just by these 600 soldiers falling over, but a boy that was freshly buried was raised from the dead because Jesus proclaimed his identity. What can you do when you proclaim your identity? When you understand your identity in Christ, when you understand who you are and the role and the function that you have on this earth, how much more can you do? You know, why would you know, Jesus finds it important to put the scripture in because he wants to show you your identity.
Yes.
He wants to show you the power that you carry if you just understand your identity. He had to put it in. You know, these soldiers, they were trying to catch this boy. They had to try and catch him because, you know, what would happen if the word would get out that this little boy was raised from the dead when Jesus just said, I'm he. When they were trying to capture Jesus, and now this little boy's running around saying, but I was raised from the dead because of Jesus. The resurrection would have, I mean, the crucifixion would have been put on hold. They would have stopped it because they would have realized who Jesus was.
Come on.
You know? But what I'm trying to show you and to say to you is how Jesus was simply displaying his identity and how much you need to take it up. Amen?
Amen.
You know, only Mark mentioned this. It wasn't a random person. It wasn't a little boy like theologians try and say. It was a little boy that was raised from the dead.
Yes, yes.
When you understand your identity and realize who you are, and when you know that you are co-heirs with Christ, when you realize that Jesus said we will do far more or far greater than what he has done, what we have done, many, many, many of us, most of us has done, is we have taken on the cultures and the customs and the ways of this world.
Come on.
You know, when you, let's say, for example, a South African goes to London, goes to the UK, they, you know, they eventually get to the place of where they start taking on the cultures of the UK. They slightly start changing accent into the, they've taken on the cultures and the ways of the UK.
Yes, that's right.
You know, in the same way, we as believers have started taking on the cultures of this world.
Sure, come on.
I heard something once, and I'm almost done. I'm like going to be 2 minutes. I heard something once in a sermon where it says, you know, we as believers and stuff, we always think, or most of us, for those of you who think about the rapture, I've been thinking about it since I was a little girl. And we think, just like, this rapture is taking so long. It's taking so long. And, you know, flip, it's like, when's it going to happen and stuff like that. And over the years, people have thought that. But if you think about it, Jesus says that 1,000 days to us is like 1 day to him.
That's right.
And, you know, people say that the earth, or not the earth, since Adam, it's 6,000. There's actually so much you don't know. But since Adam, it's 6,000 years. So if we think about it, 1 day is 1,000 days, or 1,000 days to us, 1,000 days to us.
Yes, yes.
So if it's been 6,000, it's only been 6 days to God.
Sure.
But what you also don't realize is that if you look at the beginning of the Bible, people lived to 800, 900,
yes,
1,000
that's right.
years. That's what we should be living to. We should be living to so many years.
Come on.
Where people who were not, you know, of God in those times, they were living to 90, 100.
Yes.
And as time went on, people, you know, got less older and less older and less older. So we became so accustomed to the things of this world and not how God had ordained
it. Sure, come on.
So we celebrate now if we get to 90. Yet God had it for us to live to 1,000, 900,
Amen.
800 years. Do you see what I'm saying? How we become so, that's just one example of how we've become accustomed to the ways of the world. We go according to what the media says. We go according to what the banks say, when we should be the ones. Prophet did, we were busy now with the series on Ecclesia. We're teaching you about the power of the church, what we carry. But I want to encourage you to maintain your identity. Find your identity in Christ. You know, if the soldiers fell over and they had no power, I see they're flashing me time. I'm 1 minute. You know the power that you possess. We are living in the end times. We know that.
Yes.
How many times now we've said that it's the end of the end. And God said that in the last days, I will pour my spirit on all flesh.
Come on.
He didn't say I'm going to trickle it. He didn't say I'm going to let it
yes.
just be a little flow. He said, I will pour my spirit on
Amen.
All
Come
flesh.
On.
So if you're not going to pick it up, I'm telling you, an animal is going to pick it up because they
sure.
flesh as
Come
well.
On.
So pick up the power. Pick up the identity that you carry. Exercise the power that you possess. Exercise your faith. Stand firm in your faith. Don't let an animal walk past you and blow on you and you fall over in the spirit. You walk past the animal and make the animal fall in the spirit and make sure that it's prized meat.
Oh yes.
You know, I want you guys to focus on, you know, stop being negative. A lot of people struggle with negativity. Stop being negative and complaining and moaning all the time. Take charge of your life. Take responsibility for your life. Don't moan and complain about what happened to you before. Use that as a testimony. All things work together for your good.
Yes, yes.
Don't go backwards. Don't keep going backwards, focusing on the past. See your future and run with your future.
Amen.
Understand who you are and whose you are. Amen?
Amen.
Have faith that stands still. Have faith that doesn't budge or waver. Stand firm in the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Get intelligence of the Word so that you know how to fight and what
yes,
to fight
yes.
with. Start right now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I hope you guys are excited.
Yes, come on.
I hope you online viewers are excited.
Yes, yes.
And ready to take this faith thing head on. I prayed for you. I was going to pray for you in the end, but it kind of happened in the after the worship. But I want you to stand with me. If you're online, I want you to stand with me. And in the building, I want you to stand. I know I'm a little bit late, and I'm sorry. But I want you to raise your hands, close your eyes. Let's get into this moment, and I'm just going to pray for you before we go. Online, don't be spectators, only be partakers right now. Father, I thank you for each and every single person. If you are able to speak in tongues, if you are able to pray in tongues, I want you to start doing that now. Everyone in the building, if you are online watching, pray in tongues. Let's get activated. Let's activate our faith. Don't just stand. If you cannot pray in tongues, we'll pray for you now, but I'm trusting that with you that you will start. And just start. This is a moment of where you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And just open your mouth and speak. Don't listen to the voices of the enemy thinking that it's yourself. Pray now. Pray not like the pray with passion. Pray with zeal. Pray with energy. Have an energy of Christ now. Pray loud. If you, I want you to hear you. I don't want you to just stand there. I want you to pray loud. Pray loud. Online viewers, where you are in your house, don't have a reputation thinking who is in the house. Stand there and pray with us. Father, right now, carry on praying, don't stop. Father, right now, I command that your presence enter into their houses. I command that each person that is standing here, let their faith be activated. Let their faith reach to higher and greater levels where they might have small levels of faith now. Let it be increased. Let it grow exponentially. Let them understand that their faith can grow to greater levels. Let them exercise their faith, but let there be an impartation right now of the faith that is upon my life and my husband's life, prophets. Leon, amen, and I command amen. An impartation of faith to take place right now. Everything that is holding them back, every limitation, every excuse that they use, let it be broken amen. Right amen. Now. Deliverance is the portion of those that need deliverance. Healing is the portion of those that need healing right now in Jesus' mighty name. Breakthrough, their portion, but all needs to happen with faith.
Amen.
So, Father,
amen.
Let their faith be increased right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you to our online viewers. We love you and we appreciate you. And we'll see you at 5 o'clock tonight for Prophet. He will be in the house tonight. So make sure not to miss tonight. It is going to be powerful. When he takes time out like this to train us, but also he gets extra time to separate for you. And I know he's busy with it now. So don't miss us tonight.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Amen.
For those of you who are in the building, we will see you online. Bye, everyone.